I want to go back to 37.
Amen.
We were in last night. We left him in the pit, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
I think we'll just get into it.
Amen.
And I'm not going to read a text. I may read a text in a little while. But do you remember where we are? Now, God's doing something. God's preparing the vessel.
That's right.
And I can't remember the old preacher's name that I used to listen to and study, Tozer. Tozer said that he doubt that God ever used any person greatly that he did not first greatly touch.
That's right. Amen.
And there has to be the grooming of God before there can be the God vessel of honor.
That's right.
That God uses. So we'll talk about that more. But we left, if you look at your Bible, we left in 37, we left Joseph stripped of his coat in the pit. And 23, 24, 25, they stripped Joseph of his coat. They took him and cast him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water. They sat down and ate bread. While he's crying and hollering and help, needing help, they sat down and ate lunch. There's no lunch down there in that pit. There's not even any water in the pit. But they're, and about that time, this caravan, verse 25, and a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brethren, "What profit it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother." Wasn't that big of him? We'll sell him into slavery, but we won't touch him because he's our brother. And our flesh. And here's a phrase. And his brethren were content.
Yeah.
Now, they've hated Moses. They've hated Joseph, and they have mocked Joseph, and they have harmed Joseph. But now they're going to while they're eating lunch, they're going to break the heart of their brother,
yeah,
and sell their brother, and. That's not all of it. They're going to break the heart of their dad.
That's right.
And so they took Joseph out of the pit, verse 28, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt.
Yes.
Now, we talked about the likeness of Joseph to Christ. So now he's been despised by his brethren and now he's sold for silver.
That's right.
And he returned unto Reuben, returned to the pit. Joseph was not there. And Reuben was so upset, but they divided the money about that time and everything was better. They took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of the goats, dipped the coat in his blood. They sent the coat of many colors And they brought it to their father and said, "This we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat.
Yes.
An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes, put on sackcloth on his loins, mourned for his son many days. And his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I'll go down to the grave unto my son mourning." And his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard.
Yes.
So they have done their worst.
That's right.
Sin always grows.
That's right.
You know, here's a lesson for us. Somebody in this audience right here, somebody calling themselves a first-class Christian, has got bitterness in their heart against somebody who's hurt them in the past.
Yes, that's true.
On the job or in the church or in the family. We've all got, just think a minute. Has anybody ever hurt me? Well, sure they have.
Yes, sir.
What's amazing is, it might have been 10 or 20 years ago, but how fast did it come back to you?
That's right.
What we need to do, there's a verse over in Colossians, the end of it says, forbear and forgive.
Amen.
That's the only way to go along as a Christian. And forgiveness. I'll give you some keys to forgiveness. I don't know if I'll get it tonight, but we'll get it before we leave here.
Amen.
So not only they had this thing about Joseph, but now that it's reached out and the whole family is trying to make up for what's happened to Dad. But it's not going to be fixed for Dad.
That's right.
Dad's got a broken heart, and he'll go down to the grave with a broken heart as far as they're concerned.
That's right.
They'll never tell him, they'll never get honest. They'll never confess until God does a work.
That's right. Amen.
So, chapter 38 is a parenthesis chapter. Talks about the sin of Judah. One more sin to that, all of those others. And let's go to 39 now. I believe I want to say just a little bit more right here. So what have we seen in Joseph? Well, we've seen Joseph in his household with his brethren discover God's purpose.
Amen.
For him.
Yes.
It took several steps. You know, first of all, he had a robe. First of all, second of all, he had a vision.
Amen.
And third of all, now he has been sold into captivity, but he is leaving Jacob's house.
Yes.
And leaving the brethren with this in his heart. As a 17-year-old boy, he knew that God had something for him.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But now, he's leaving home. He's lost his position. He no longer has a robe. He's no longer the boss of the family farm. But he hasn't lost his purpose.
Amen.
He's still the vessel of honor that God has chosen to use.
Amen.
And so, you come to chapter 39, Potiphar's house. He's a man of purpose, whether he's at Potiphar's house or whether he's at Jacob's house.
Amen.
He's a man of purpose. Hey, yes. Can you get this, Christian? Every one of us are saved on purpose and for a purpose.
Amen. That's good.
When you surrendered your life to Jesus, I said this the other night, He didn't just save you so you could escape hell. But the Bible says that He saved every one of us, little or big, no matter what talent we have. He saved every one of us to bring glory to the name of God the Father.
Amen.
Through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
And that's true whether you're at the church house,
right,
or at your house or out in the streets of our city. Wherever you are the vessel who carries Jesus to this world.
Amen.
And the honor of that, of the servant, is that he said it's required in a steward that he be a faithful.
Amen.
And whether you're here or there or that crowd or that crowd or that crowd, you're here on purpose.
Amen.
I had a lady in my church that could type hundreds of words a minute. She was a medical stenographer. She would go down there to the doctor's office, get those audio tapes, the doctor's speaking over the tape, and she could type as fast as the doctor could say it. And I said, "Wow, what a talent you! Hey, y'all have that. Y'all, I've got that hunk pet."
Me too.
It took 45 words to get past that typing course when I was in high school, and that, guess what I had? 45 words. And I'm not even faster now than I was. But she was. I said, "You have so much talent." She said, "What do you mean, Brother Wayne?" I said, she was typing up some stuff for me, and I just was amazed how fast she could turn it out. I said, "All this ability that God's given you to be a stenographer like it." She said, "I'm not a stenographer." She said, "I'm not a computer operator. I'm a missionary to computer operators." She said, "I go down there and work, and at my workhouse, I try to tell them about Jesus."
Amen.
And, hey, she said, "It doesn't matter much about this typing. What matters is getting somebody to Jesus."
Amen.
So it doesn't matter if you're washing dishes or raising little kids or welding or carpenter or whatever it is you do. That's not your purpose.
Amen.
Your purpose is to set a standard and shine a light and be real for Jesus no matter what you're doing.
Amen.
I had a granddad that couldn't read or write. He had homesteaded in the land run in Oklahoma, and then he lost his farm in the Dust Bowl. He never learned to drive a tractor. He never had a car. He couldn't read or write. I would go down to help him in the summertime. after the chores were done and breakfast was over, Grandma would get the old Bible out, and she would read to Granddad, and they'd talk about the Bible for a while, and that was his access to the Word of God. He had to have someone to read it to him. He couldn't just go pick it up like we do and read it. But you know what? He had an old altar out there at the barn.
Amen.
And he could go out there to that barn and call heaven down. And the machinery of God operated on that farm.
Amen.
I mean, he had five boys, and two of them became preachers, but all of them became Christians. And he had a testimony. As a teenager, I went down. My dad became the pastor of that church, that home church that he and his brother had started when they homesteaded in there. They started that little old church, and my dad was the pastor. And I was a teenager, and I'd go over here and over there and over there. And somebody'd say, "Hudson, You any kin to Uncle Walter?" That's what they called him down in that neighborhood. I said, "Yeah, that's my grandpa. That's the greatest Christian I've ever been around. He couldn't read or write. He had no ability. You've got abilities he didn't have. But I doubt that there's anybody in this room that comes up to the level that he came up to out there at the barn just on his face before God. I know this. One of them that doesn't come there." What I'm saying is, that robe had nothing to do with who Joseph was.
Right.
It was just a symbol of who he was. God had already selected him, and God was already preparing him.
Amen.
And now God was going to continue. Hey, there's a key verse in chapter 30. There's a key word in chapter 39 and following.
Yes.
In chapter 39, verse 2, you find this word. "And the Lord was with Joseph."
Right.
Now, wait a minute. He has been taken from Papa's house as a slave.
Yes,
and now verse 1 said that he was sold to the officer of the guard down in Egypt, the captain of the guard. But in verse 2 it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph."
Amen.
Verse 21.
Yes.
"And the Lord was with Joseph." Verse 23. "And the Lord was with him.
Amen.
That which he did, the Lord made it to prosper."
Amen.
What I'm talking about, circumstance has little to do about it.
That's right.
Whether you got money in the bank or whether you not, whether you got able to drive the car that somebody else does, or that's nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Who you are is what God is in you.
Amen.
This revival, the call for revival, is a call to come back to that place that God is with me.
Amen.
I need it as much as you do. Every one of us need it. We must have that revival.
Amen.
If we're going to live for God, if we're going to please God, if we're going to know the joy of our salvation,
Amen,
we're going to have God with us.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
And Tozer said, "I don't think God will use any servant greatly until that servant's been hurt."
That's right.
Jesus said Jesus said that if they've hated me, mark her down. If they've hated the master,
that's right,
mark her down.
Yes, sir.
They're going to hate the servants.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you're going to have some... The day you got saved, right? The day you got saved, the devil put a target on your back.
Right.
And you are... You're, Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief has come but for to kill, to steal, to destroy.
Yes, sir.
I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you want life, you better get over here with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Because the devil's going to do damage to you.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I thought the theology of our day says, the radio TV theology said, that if you'll ever get saved, you'll never have another problem. Remember that?
Yes.
I remember old Father Divine, he used to be on the radio up there in New York. He said, you just can't lose with the stuff I use. What a bunch of baloney.
Yes, sir.
So why would I want to be saved if I'm facing all this persecution? Because you'll never go into anything that He doesn't go with you.
Amen. Yes.
And in every circumstance, you have His power.
Amen.
His, you don't face it in what you... Hey, think about it. What if the baby dies before morning? What if great disaster falls in your family or your neighborhood and somebody needs somebody to comfort them?
Right.
There's not but one place of comfort. That's at the feet of the Savior.
That's right.
We need Him with us.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Well, I got to go on. So here's Joseph in chapter 39 was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. I just want you to take note of that captain of the guard.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you something later. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of the master, of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw, what did you see, Potiphar? The Lord was with him.
Amen.
And the Lord made all that he did to prosper. See, Joseph found grace in his sight because the Lord was with him.
Amen.
Joseph was successful because the Lord was with him.
Right.
He couldn't depend on Jacob anymore. Jacob, he wouldn't see Jacob for 20 years.
Wow.
But the Lord was with him. What a wonderful thing when the Lord is with us.
Right. Yes, sir.
And so he begins, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake.
Amen.
Isn't that something? I mean, when God's on us,
that's good.
It's not just our blessing, but it's everybody around us.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful together? Hey, I take it that, you know, I take it there's several of us that have the Lord with us here.
Amen.
And what that means is if I come over here and stay around the house of God and the people of God, some of those blessings are going to fall on me as well
right.
as...
Huh? Amen. Yes.
Potiphar said, this is a good deal. That is probably the best bargain in slave market history.
Yeah.
When you buy a slave and the Lord is with him,
yes,
you got something. You got more than you bargained for. And he's got a Joseph and the Lord is with him.
Amen.
And Joseph's going to say in a few verses, He doesn't even know any. He doesn't know anything he has except what he eats. I'm in charge of the whole household. He's turned everything over to me because he knows that the Lord is blessing me, and that the Lord is with me. Have you got that trust? The people around you. Somebody say, "We need you here." You ever get one of those calls? I need somebody who can get a hold of God.
Yeah.
Over in Alvin, we had a little old homemade hometown hospital, and it got to be that the nurses would call me one or two in the morning. Somebody's in trouble at the hospital, and they're asking for a preacher, and they said something like this: "We know when we call you, you'll come, and it'll be better when you get here." Well, it wasn't nothing. It wasn't nothing I could do.
Right.
It was God that did something.
Amen.
I remember going in a room, and that happened. I mean, it was trouble in the room, and all I did is show up and pray. A few months later, the nephew who had been standing by started coming to church. I met him down at McDonald's for a contact appointment. And I said something about he'd been in church, and I said, "What are you looking for? He'd been saved, but he'd been out of church for years." He said, "Well, I was over in that room when you went in that room," and he said, "Everything was upside down, and it seemed like it was disaster. And you got down and prayed, and everything got better." And he said, "I want to be there." There's some folks that want to be there.
Amen.
If God is with us,
amen.
And we fight a battle with no weapons. If we're out there in the world and God is not with us. And if we're too proud to confess our sin and repent and turn back to Him, God is not with us.
Amen.
But every one of us can call down power from God.
Amen.
In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Here's the blessed hope.
Amen.
It's Christ in you. That's the hope
Amen.
Of glory.
Yes. Yes, sir. Amen.
You are the... Over there in Luke, Jesus said over in Luke, they're looking everywhere for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And Jesus turned to those Pharisees and those folks that were following Him. He said, "The kingdom of God is in you."
Yeah.
You want God? Kingdom of God is in you.
Yeah.
It's God with us.
That's right.
I'd hate to go crack my car up and go home and without God being with us.
That's right.
I'd hate to go to sleep tonight and know that God wasn't with me.
That's right. Amen.
It's a fearful thing.
Amen.
So, He found Joseph is now finding some fulfillment of his purpose. He's got it settled over there at Jacob's house. I've got a purpose. God's going to use me.
Amen.
See, our other text is 50, verse 20.
Amen.
You thought it evil. He's talking to the brothers. You thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people. Before we ever thought about it, God already had a plan for us.
Amen.
There's somebody you can touch this preacher can't touch.
That's right.
There's somebody you can be a blessing to that he doesn't even know. They wouldn't talk to him. But you will have a purpose.
Amen. Yes.
What's revival all about? Bringing us back to the purpose.
Yes.
Amen.
He said, keep the main thing the main thing.
That's right.
Bringing us back to the main thing.
Yes.
You know, you can own half of Brazoria County. You die without Jesus, it's meaningless.
That's right.
Your kids will fight over it, and that'll be the end of it. But you get a hold of God and you live with God and you become a man or woman of God, a vessel of God, a vessel that can carry the power and goodness of God.
Amen. Yes,
sir. I've got to preach a funeral next week. I think I'm going to preach on that verse over there in Hebrews chapter 11. It said, he being dead, yet speaketh. That preacher's still living because he had a testimony with family.
Amen.
And with a congregation and with visitors who came and went out of that place. His testimony's, hey, he's dead.
Yep.
We'll bury him next week. But he's still preaching.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
All right.
Somebody said tonight they'd rather be here than any the best mortuary in town. I don't remember who that was said that. But I heard the story about those three guys that this mortuary was trying to build their business and they were trying to come up with a new slogan and so he is asking people, he asked these guys, he asked one of them, said, What would you like for people to say when they see you laying there in that casket? He said, well, I guess I'd like for them to say that was a good man. He lived a good life. Next man, something similar to that. Third guy he asked, he said, what would you like for you people to say when they see you laying there? He said, sat there a minute, thought about it. He said, I think I'd like for him to say, look, he's moving. That's what we all want to hear, isn't it? So Moses is, or Joseph has been tested by adversity.
Amen.
But the test is not over. Over there in James, I don't know if we'll get past this or not. I didn't intend to preach on all this. James chapter 1, verse 2 says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Yes.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Amen.
Over in Peter, he said that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes.
That's right.
And we're going to face some trials, and Joseph faced trials.
That's right.
But on the other side of the trials, he's better.
Amen.
Prepared.
Amen.
To fulfill the purpose.
Amen.
That God's given him.
That's right.
So, he's lost his position, but he's found his purpose.
Amen.
And, hey, the world can't take your purpose away from you.
Amen.
I mean, when you become the servant of God, when you become that vessel that God pours through, there's nothing they can do to take it away from you. Satan can't touch you. So you come over to chapter 39. I've wondered all day why we're going to preach on this chapter. I mean, if you look around, there's about two here that might be. But the temptations are there for every one of us.
That's right.
Old men, old women.
That's right.
So, down to verse 7. Let's read 6. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had save the bread which he did eat. That's that verse. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Where it says Joseph was a goodly person in the King James, you could say Joseph was a handsome guy.
Yeah.
He was kind of cool. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master doesn't know anything. He's put me in charge of the whole house. There's none greater, verse 9, in the house than me. He's kept back nothing from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
Amen.
And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. There's a lot of counsel that I could give young people that probably need to be here. We need probably here too.
That's right.
The devil will never confront you head on. He'll always deceive you.
That's right.
See, she didn't say, let's go have an affair. What she said, you could come over here and lie with me.
Yeah.
What they say is, oh, I know you don't drink, but you can come over here and watch me drink.
Yeah.
I know you'd never go to that place on your own, but you can go with me. Compromise.
That's right.
The devil is the master of deceit.
Yes, he is.
He knows what it'll take to trip you up. Just compromise. Hey, I know you're a Baptist. I know you're a Christian, but hey, bend a little bit. Just fellowship with us a little bit. Just come on over and miss church a little bit. Have a good time with us. We're going to have a real good time. You ever seen them? They wasn't here. They hadn't been. I mean, they're members here, but they hadn't been here in a month or more. When they come, it's Sunday morning or something. They miss every Wednesday night. You know how it all started. They've been here, and the devil said, "Ah, it's just a Wednesday night service.
That's right. All right.
You can miss that." And you drop that shoe, and then you're dodging it. You go over to Walmart, and they see you coming down the aisle, they'll dodge over, keep from having to tell you why they didn't come.
Yes.
over there in Hebrews, I believe it is, he talks about the deceitfulness of sin.
Right.
Deceitfulness of sin to the Jews was they could harden their heart. They could still go through all the motions. They could be that nation called out by God. They could go down and sacrifices and go through it all with a hard heart.
Yeah.
They'd rise up against Moses every once in a while because they had a hard heart.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And eventually the whole nation died in the wilderness because of the hardness of their heart.
Yes.
My friend, you can kill yourself trying to compromise with this world.
Amen.
Here it was a beautiful woman. Well, the devil's got... Paul said that we put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
To defend ourselves against the wiles of the
yes.
devil. My brother-in-law and me went to some lake in over in East Texas. I can't remember the name of it. You remember? We were going fishing, and we had decided our plan was we would get a guide for one day, one morning, and we'd go fishing that morning with the guide, and we'd learn all the tricks and all the hideouts and everything about fishing, and we'd go do it on our own. Well, we got down to the place. He said, get this, get that, get that, get that, get that, get that, get that. I finally said, I'm not getting any more. I didn't come down here just to buy lures. And we got into his boat. He didn't just have lures. He had a stack of rods. And he would throw out there with some lure and throw it about three times. If they didn't hit it, he'd get another one. The devil does that.
Yeah.
He knows what it'll take for you.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I mean, he just keeps throwing something at you until you bite.
Amen.
And once you bite, you're hooked.
Yes.
And once you're hooked, you're on your way down.
Right.
So, what'd you do, Joseph? I've got a list here somewhere,
Amen.
If I can find it. I thought I had it wrote down here somewhere. I've got a whole lot more that I could say about the temptation. But look at it. Chapter 39, verse 8. What'd you do, Joseph?
Amen.
8:1. But he refused.
Yes.
You don't have to soothe the feelings of somebody trying to tempt you, get away from God. Take your stand.
Amen.
Be who you are. You've got a purpose. You're a person of purpose. Take your stand.
Amen.
And stand firm.
Yes.
He was, what did I say? He was.
He refused.
He refused. He was determined.
Amen.
He was dedicated.
Yes.
And because he, first of all, he was decisive. He didn't have to worry. Well, let me think it over and I'll let you know tomorrow. You know what happens there, don't you? Tomorrow it'll be a little more flagrant.
Right.
Tomorrow we'll find a secret place and whisper a little bit.
Yeah.
And the next day we may touch hands or something. But little by little it gets. You see the point?
Yes, sir.
You can apply it in every area of temptation that the devil gives you.
Right. Right.
That's how it operates. Until he takes you down. He was decisive and he was discerning.
Amen.
He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It's not how pretty you are. It's not how attractive this situation is to me. It's God that counts. What's going to happen with God? See, God's with me. I don't want to lose God's presence in my life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's my master. He trusts me, I serve him.
Amen.
Our commitment is mutual. And look at verse 9. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his. What'd you say? What he said was, I'm contented.
Yes.
I am content with what God has done for me. You know, when you get, you know, people that are greedy and never satisfied. You know, the problem is not with what they have. It's with what they want.
Right.
And what Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in,
yes, sir,
to be content.
Amen.
God's done a work for us and God's brought us to a place. And God's given us a, hey, hallelujah for this church. Hallelujah for the people that I've got acquainted with right here this week. I told Susie this afternoon, we talked about the sweetness of the fellowship right here in this church. Somebody said, well, I'd like to go over at that old big church. They don't have what you have right here.
That's right.
I mean, you can go over there and they may have a great singer or even a great preacher. But you've got fellowship. You got folks that love you. You got folks that will help you. And besides that, you got some of the best cooks in the whole Missouri County. Right? Be content.
Amen.
God put you here. God's doing a work in you.
Yes.
And verse 2 said, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man.
Yes.
We've got God.
Amen.
We've got His presence. He discerned the wickedness of sin, the deceitfulness of sin. And he was determined and dedicated. James chapter 1. Let's go right. I'll go over there for you. I might get. In James chapter 1, I know I got it here somewhere. I know I got James in this Bible. Verse 14. But every man is tempted. Let me back up to 13. Let no man say when he is tempted that I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when? When he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, always brings forth death.
Amen. Right.
He was in a dangerous place.
Yes.
Satan had confronted him, and I could spend some time on the lusts, but it's summed up over in Galatians chapter 5.
Yes, it is.
Where I believe it's 5:13 or something like that. That the battle is always the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
Versus the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Always. And John said there's the lust of the young people to do. And the lust of the middle age, that's the politician, to be. That's what those Pharisees were. Matthew 23, he said, what you want to do is put on your robe. What you want to do is be the whited sepulcher. And you're full of dead men's bones.
Yes.
There's a lot. Hey, I said something about the purity of youth.
Amen.
That's what God wants in every one of our hearts.
Amen.
And then there's the love of I can't be or do, but I just want to be recognized for how important I am. That's the old man's. Huh? But the whole world is going to pass away in the lust thereof.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
So, when he was tempted, there was no hesitation. Look at verse 8. He refused. Verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness? Verse number 12. She caught his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left the garment in her hand and fled and got him out.
Amen. Yes.
Over in Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. The day you got saved, that verse applies to you. You made a vow, whether you knew it or not, I'll keep your word.
Right.
I'll be what you want me to be because I'm accepting your Savior.
Right.
I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precept. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever.
Amen.
For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end.
Amen.
That's the promise of every one of us to God.
Amen.
A holy vow to God the day we accepted His Savior.
Right.
How you doing with it? Have you got any apologizing to God you need to do? Have you got some uh-ohs that you need to confess to Him and get back on a fresh, clean sheet? He's got that pretty logbook that he keeps. I looked at my stuff looks, I scratch around on it, looks like a hen been scratching. He writes and it's clear and perfect. It's not fair. What I'd like to do is get that boy to put notes in my Bible for me so I could read them someday. He was dedicated.
Yes.
He didn't have to wonder if he was going what he was going to do. He'd already. I remember a meeting when I was just about 10 years old, I guess, that we had a revival at our church, and I don't know what. I can't even remember the preacher's name, but he gave us an invitation to the youth one night. And he said, if you're here and you're, I don't remember what, just a young person, and you'd make a vow to God that you're going to try your best to live for Him every day of your life. You've been saved. And you would make that vow to God that I'm going to try to obey your word and keep, would you come up here? And there was about 30 of us went up on that stage.
Amen.
After we got there, he said, we're vowing we're not going to smoke cigarettes. We're vowing we're not going to drink beer. We're vowing that we're going to live every day of our life for Jesus. That's the vow. That's what we just read in Psalm 119. We're vowing that we will take this book and hide it in our heart.
Amen.
And keep from sinning against God.
That's right.
You know, coming past that, coming off that 10-year-old boy, 11, 12, whatever I was, to 17, 18, 21, 23. I can think of all of the times. But you know what? I never forgot the vow I had made to God. David made a vow in that Psalm 119. He said, I'm going to keep your word always. Church, so much temptation around us. I read something here a while back about that TV show Friends. Remember? It was about, it's probably 15 years old or so. But it was a 30-minute program. And they did not do then what they do now on TV. But in 30 minutes, this fellow checked off about 20 times that they made some kind of a sexual insinuation. You know what Ephesians says about fornication? It says, don't let it be named one time among you. Keep us out of a lot of trouble if we never did name it one time, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, it shut down a lot of homosexual stuff and perversion. And if we just never allow it to be spoken in our midst. That's what God said. God said it. David said, I'm going to keep your word always.
Amen.
He made a vow. Hey, I've got a purpose. You've saved me to be your servant, your witness, your light in a dark place. And Joseph said, I'm not going to sin against God. I'm not going to, I'll let you have my coat, but I'm leaving here.
Amen.
It'd help us. If we could get some of that determination in our own soul.
Yes, amen. Yes, sir.
There's sin all around us. You can't see a Dr. Pepper commercial without some kind of an insinuation in it. Where's mine at? We put these things in the hands of our kids. I can make one punch on that thing and go to a scene that would shock every one of us. I've been around long enough to know not to go there. But do you think that fourth, fifth, sixth grader, you understand?
Right.
You think they're ready to handle that? I don't. I think it's a dangerous tool. But it's all around us. And what the world is begging for today is a place of purpose.
Amen.
When we have determined that we're His servants, we're His vessels, He put that red coat on us, that red coat washed in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And now we're different.
Yes.
And we're gonna make a decision. And we are going to stand for Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know what the temptation will be. Might be a money deal. It might be 100 things. But we need to determine.
That's right.
I'm gonna keep your word, Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to know what the book says about it, and I'm going to keep it.
Amen.
Boy, keep us out of a lot of trouble.
That's right.
I think about the failures of all these years of that. It would have been so much better if I'd just been kept that book in my heart.
Amen.
I believe I'm not where I thought I'd be, but I'm where I need to be.
Amen.
I believe it's time for an invitation.
Amen. Amen.